Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all enjoying your time on Hawaii as much as I am. My name is Adrian Marshall. I'm a PhD student at Washington State University, and I'm in entomology, so I'm sorry for all the bug pictures you're going to have to see, but I'll try to make it easy to digest. So today I'd like to talk to you about a little bit of the effects of shade netting that I've found over orchards in Washington. So shade netting, or netting in orchards, has been around for over 50 years, and it originated actually as hail netting, or bird protection, a long time ago, because it can cause pretty severe damage to apples, such as when hail hits it and you lose 60-70% of your fruit sometimes. Over in Washington, however, we have a secondary disorder coming up due to new growing practices and things like that. Our fruit is actually getting overexposed to sunlight, and much like me, it sunburns when it gets too much sunlight, like this. So they've started to put up netting, which reduces about 20% of the sun that's hitting the fruit, and they call it shade netting, and it's working pretty well so far. So netting can come in a variety of styles. You have the full enclosure here, which is a drive-in enclosure. And to create this, you have to support it with trellis poles and wiring. It's kind of a lot of upfront investment, but it protects the entire orchard and allows full worker accessibility in. They can thin it, prune it, harvest it, all that without having to touch the netting ever again. You have the tree wrap, which is more common in European countries, where they just wrap the tree, and it still provides full protection, but you have to take it off in order to access the fruit or the tree in any other way. And then the earliest design is just the top cover only. This is for hail and birds and things like that, because it just protects the top. So why would someone want to fully wrap their orchards when you could just protect it from the top? Well, it provides a few other functions. It can minimize heat stress to the whole tree instead of the top of the tree, because you get protection from the sides. You can eliminate the need for any overhead cooling systems, which have been shown to cause mildew outbreaks and things like that that you don't want. Some research has found that the fruit skin does better all around. You get larger fruit, better quality, it evenly colors instead of some ripening faster than others. And workers even like it, compliment it a lot. They feel cooler under the net, they don't get stressed, and they just enjoy working in the orchard all that much more. But the real reason that I want to look at it is it can exclude things such as deer, birds, and even insects. And that's where I come in. So to test what kind of insects it excludes and what other effects it has on the insect communities, I built a few cages built from the shade net. I had two experiments, a small cage and a large cage. The small cages in the upper left here cover three trees. They're 10 feet tall, 10 feet wide, and 5 feet deep. And we replicated that 12 times, and we compared this to three tree plots of conventionally managed where you spray every few months for insects, and then plots with no treatment at all, which are the control. And we did the exact same thing, just on a larger scale with these large cages that covered 48 trees to represent more of the industry standard. So what kind of insects did I want to look at? Well, the number one pest of apples that we have is codling moth. I know, it's a gross-looking creature. Its caterpillar is laid on the outside of the fruit, eats inside, leaving this nasty hole, eats the seeds, and then crawls back out, leaving a second hole, and no one wants to buy that. So who here can tell me what's worse than biting into an apple and finding a caterpillar? Half a caterpillar. It's always worse. So that's number one that we want to study. The second one is the leaf roller moth, which is surface-level feeder. So obviously, most people won't buy an apple that looks like this because it's missing a portion of it that you would want to eat anyways. And luckily for me, these plots that we chose had a huge population of these moths, so it wasn't an issue to bring them in or anything. It's actually kind of a problem. We had to get them out of the cages because where we built them was overwintering insects, so we weren't sure if we were excluding them or if it was just a natural population. So for this first year of data, we also sprayed inside the cages, just so you guys are aware of that. And to monitor for them, we just put up traps inside with pheromones. They were attracted to that, and they'd stick to the trap. You check it once a week, figure out what your populations were in the three different treatments. However, it's not just about pests. We also want to see how's it affecting the rest of the community of insects, your beneficials, your secondary pests. So we chose one of the number one secondary pests, which is the woolly apple aphid. It's this fuzzy ball guy here. It doesn't feed on the fruit, but it feeds on the tree, causing cankers, and slowly just reduces the vigor of the tree. And there's predators. We have the serpent fly on the left, which lays the egg inside the woolly apple aphid colony. Larvae goes around, eats up all the aphids, turns into a new fly, goes off, finds another colony. And then the lacewing, which is just a voracious general predator who eats everything. And believe it or not, we also looked at earwigs, because those have been recently proven to be a huge predator of aphids and are not a problem on apples because the skin's too tough for them to eat through. And a specialty, parasitoid, which is an insect that lays an egg inside of another insect, just like the movie Alien. And that's Aphelinus molly, which is the parasitoid of woolly apple aphids. So to track these, luckily they're all easily trapped. So throughout the year, we would just deploy, in the bottom left you have your earwig trap, There's the mouse. It's about a little 4-inch cardboard domicile that's just put at the bottom of a tree. They go inside the cardboard. They like it as a home. You take it off once a week. You count the amount of earwigs. You put them back. Put a new trap up. The parasitoid is attracted to yellow, so you stick up a yellow sticky card. Change those out every week. You just count them on the sticky card, figure out your populations. And cervids and lacewings are attracted to this white with this little lure. This is a plant volatile lure. So when aphids feed, they release some volatiles from the plant that attract the predators. This is just those compounds inside of the lure packet on a sticky trap to attract the lacewings and cervids. So what do we find? This is where it gets interesting. In the small cage experiment, we found actually more earwigs inside the cages, which was good news. You know, they would be there to eat the aphids. We're not excluding them. Everything's looking great. However, on the large cage experiment, we kind of had a flip-flop of results. So we're testing that again this year to see why that might be. As you can tell, all of them are non-significant on the large cage. It's because we had one cage that was just very variable and had way more earwigs than any of the other ones. So the variation caused stats to not pick up the differences. On the rest of these, I'm only going to show you one graph because they're all the same for the large and small cage. There's no differences. And I've tried to provide a little picture of the insect in the upper right so you guys can tell what I'm talking about. This is the parasitoid, Aphelinus molly, laying an egg in a woolly apple aphid. As you can see inside the cages, so we have cage, conventional control for cowling moth, and then control of no spray at all. And on the y-axis, we have the population of the entire year. So if you sum up all the traps for the year and average them, this is what you get. As you can tell, there's a huge amount of Aphelinus molly inside these cages, so that's good news. They're a parasitoid. We want them there. Very beneficial. However, for our predators, like lacewings, we're seeing that the netting is actually excluding them. As you can see, there's a significant drop in lacewings inside the cage, along with surfeit flies. So these are two major predators of woolly apple aphids that we've virtually excluded from the orchard. And as you can imagine, when you take out two big beneficial insects, you get a lot of the pest. And we had a massive outbreak of woolly apple aphids in these cages to where the trees were pretty much painted white. It was almost hard to differentiate colonies because they were just continuous. So that was pretty crazy. But again, we're continuing this for a second year to see if maybe the earwigs can take back over or if we start getting those other things. To the direct pests, though, the things that growers and other people really care about, we were keeping out cowling moth. So despite these sprays going on in treatment two, we still had a huge drop in adults compared to the cage, which is good news. So it looks like they're not getting in. And as expected, when you don't have the moth, you don't get the damage. So we had a lot in the control. We had almost 80% damage of our apples, which was disgusting. And the air blast did control most of it. It brought it down to under 20. But the cage, which is netting plus the air blast in a way, did even better. So it showed that the netting is only further benefiting the insects. So that's for my cage experiment. Some other things that are going on with netting is that not all orchards are designed to have a cage constructed over them. Some of them are really hilly. It's kind of expensive. So what about some other insect interactions we can look at with netting? Well, one that's come into Washington and 45 other states recently is the brown marmorated stink bug. It's highly invasive, and on the East Coast, it's caused tremendous damage to agriculture. Now, a cool thing about the biology of stink bugs is they live in the natural vegetation for most of the year, and then once the fruit starts getting ripe on the trees, they fly in, affect the fruit, and then leave. So it's really hard to target them with insecticides because they're only in there for about a week or two, and you don't know when that's going to happen. But what if we build a barrier, per se, around the orchard, preventing them from flying in from the vegetation? So the idea here is the stink bugs are living in the natural vegetation. You build this netted wall that's about 12 feet high. They fly in, can't get to the fruit, so they fly back to the vegetation because it's an easier host. And in my lab, we like to make dreams a reality. And we built four of these giant 250-foot-long barriers. And on each of them, you will see that they have flaps here. So the idea is the stink bug will fly in, hit the net, and they walk straight up, which is their behavior. They get trapped in the flap because they reach the pinnacle, and they don't want to go anywhere farther, so they'll never cross into the orchard. Now, it's kind of a far shot. We weren't sure what was going to happen, but so far it looks like it's working. We're getting a lot of stink bugs trapped in the flaps. They're not getting into the orchard. The growers are happy. Some of them even saw stink bugs on the netting, so they went and sprayed the netting. It's like, well, that defeats the purpose, but thank you. And that's my research so far. I'd like to thank my entire lab crew that was with me because they used a lot of sampling, as you can tell, with all those traps to collect and a lot of building and constructing. So I wouldn't have been able to do this without by myself, so thank them. And thank you guys for listening. Does anyone have any questions? No, it's mainly, yeah, so it could be that, because I'm not sure about that. It's in a research orchard, so it's been sprayed really heavily with, you know, experimental insecticides for a long time. But most orchards only have roughly 20 to 30% damage, and then when you spray it, drops it down to 1 or 2. This one had 80 to 90 in the control. So when you sprayed it, it still brought it down to 15 or 20, which is a huge drop. It's probably just because there are so many moths, and they've been sprayed with a lot of stuff, so. Yes, very much so. Yeah, because woolly aphalaphid has never shown to cause a decrease in yield. It's just kind of, it makes your trees look unhealthy and people don't like it. People see bugs and like, ah, I gotta get rid of them. So, yeah, good questions. No, I didn't. So the question is if I did it, sorry, I should repeat your question too. If I did a cross analysis with the insecticides, I did not. We used the same exact insecticides for both the caged and uncaged, so those were two identical treatments. But no, I didn't look at anything else with them. Yes. Yeah. good question. Yes, who did I pay for? Actually, this was kind of our gift to the grower, was we just sucked it up as a lab and paid for it, and we built the whole thing. That's the agreement was, we'll build this if you let us use it, in a way. So far, we're not finding that, which is good news. Yeah. 12 feet. I've started a new experiment this year where we're putting clear sticky traps up to 15 feet to see where they're flying in at, so we know how high we need to build it, because if they're only flying it at 6 feet, you don't need a 12-foot wall. Yeah. No, that, so I just built it in 2016, and I did all the sampling this year in 2017. Unfortunately, that doesn't end until the end of October, because we have such a long growing season, but soon enough. No, I haven't, just because I'm using 20% shade netting, which they can pass through super easily. I know other people are using much smaller, finer mesh netting to cover like blueberries and things like that. Yes. Yes, question is if I use pheromones with sticky cards. Yes, I did. That's how I was tracking the populations, is every trap except for the Aphelinus molly had a pheromone, but the Aphelinus molly trap was yellow, and they're attracted to yellow, so it was as effective. No, not with the yellow sticky card, but with everything else, yes. Thank you, guys.